always just safe.
Yeah. Oh, well, very good morning to you all. And so I'm not going to be here a lot of the time. I'm going to speak for about 10-15 minutes. I thought I was one of those lucky ones who missed this cold that was going around. But last night it got me. Anyway, we're good. I want to just spend a short little time on hospitality today, because we have experienced something this past 2 weeks which has really, really impacted us greatly. And it's been a first for us. And so I just wanted to share a little bit on hospitality. Then we're going to get the team to come up and share a little bit from each, whoever wants to. And then Amat is going to share a word which he felt he wanted to share with us. And then that will be that. So, as mentioned, I have experienced, or myself and Coles have experienced, firsthand in the past 2 weeks, what hospitality is all about. I think it's safe to say that my wife was not, I don't think she was too keen on it. You know, lots of people in the house is heavy going for her. I've never minded it too much. So it was going to be interesting to see how this all went. But it has gone amazingly well. And I just want to read 1 Peter 4:8-10 for us. Because this verse speaks to exactly how we feel and what we've learned in the last 2 weeks. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Now, I know we've really been talking a lot about gifts and serving, and it's just such a vital part of church and healthy church at that. And I just want to reiterate how important it is to know that the gifts that we receive are not for us. They're not for ourselves. The gift was given to us within the body to serve other people, to serve the rest of the body. And every single person has a beautiful gift to give. So if you're sitting there thinking, I don't have anything to give, you're wrong. Every single one of us have a gift to give. And you can bring such blessing to everybody in the body. So we had a very full house. We had a team of 7 from Stellenbosch. I'll just name them quickly. 3 of them have gone. So I'll tell you who's here and who's not. Francois, who is an elder in Joshua Generation Church, he came here and led it and led the camp. Unfortunately, he had to leave a bit early, so he's back home now. The 2 girls who left was Yulin and Annalee. Unfortunately, they've gone back too. The rest who will come up just now is Armand, Rico, Anesu, Jolene, and of course our very own dear, Sean. Where is she? Gone, Kids Church. Part of the team as well. And we came to know about these guys through Sean. Sean is there in Josh Gen Church in Stellenbosch, and very plugged in there. And, you know, we had thought about doing a camp for a long, long time. It was been on our hearts. Do you guys remember Mike, American Mike and
Mike and Terry Rhodes?
Do you remember what he said when he was up here? Who can remember what he said? He said something about a prophecy. He said he wasn't quite sure how he felt about it. But do you remember? Can anyone remember?
The Armsfielders.
Exactly. And he was talking about, the school. And that resonated with me so much. And it, because I've always felt that too. I've always felt when we came to Shamba that there's something about this school, Martin House. And when he said that, I was like, yeah, that's amazing. And so we were blessed enough to be able to put a camp together for 30 children. We didn't want to overdo it first time. So we only had 30 kids. And we wanted to reach out to people who had done this many times before. which they have, and under a much larger amount of kids as well. And so they came primarily for the youth camp, which happened this past weekend, and I'll tell you a little about that just now. But they have also spent 2 weeks with us, just being with us, hanging out with us, helping us in praise and worship. Some of you will have experienced the praise and worship that we've had in the youth groups and at our community groups. It's been amazing. It really has been something that I was longing for. So they have come to serve and give of themselves for 2 full weeks to us. It reminds me of Acts 20, verse 35, which says this: "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" My goodness, and have I felt that in the last 2 weeks. Not just me. My wife and I, and little Theo, we have been blessed out of our cotton socks. I've mentioned the worship that Francois and Armand. Francois is also very gifted. And some of the ladies as well, I don't know if you heard, have got voices of angels. Yeah. And I also just wanted to mention that, you know, talking about giving of themselves, you know, they finance themselves and they raise money themselves just to come here for us. And we have made a few requests if there's anyone who's willing, and those have been met. And we just want to say on behalf of all of us, thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for all of those who gave towards this. I'm sure we and they especially have appreciated it so much. So thank you for that. Coles and I have both agreed that these 2 weeks have been the best 2 weeks of 2025, without a doubt. It's been crazy. It's been full house packed. I've taken a few videos of the vibe that we were experiencing there, just for me to remember. It was so special, hey. And you know, Coles and I were discussing how important it is for us to model to our children, because it's also impacted Theo hugely. It's been so good for him, and we've seen what's happened in the last 2 weeks, even from just coming out of himself, you know. But just to show him and others what it is to open our houses, open our homes, to welcome in the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters, and to just make them feel welcome, make them feel loved. And in all of that, I've just seen God's perfect and beautiful plan. It's an amazing thing, and I'm very touched. The first time I went to Cape Town, I was hosted, and this house was in pretty much a container. It was tiny, and it was a family of four. And what they had done was they had bought a bunk bed in their kid's bedroom, and the bottom bunk was like big enough for three people. And they bought that so that they could host. That's how important it was for them. And so they gave their room up for me. Can you believe it? I was like, no, surely, guys, I'm happy on the floor, the couch, anything. They said, no. They put me in their bedroom, and the whole family crashed in their own, in the kid's bedroom. And again, I've never forgotten that. It's been super special for me to see what people are willing to go and the lengths that people are willing to go just to be hospitable and, you know, love each other. So there's two things that I've really learned and have stuck out for me here. The first one is, this is an opportunity to learn how to love one another, right? Because we meet people from such different walks of life. Us as Zambians, we're very different to South Africans, very different to Europeans. We're all so different. But when we open up our homes, we get to experience that. And it's super special. We learn how to love one another. The second thing that I have learned from this experience is that obviously I've been speaking about how blessed we've been. Just now you're going to hear how blessed they've been too. So we both walk away completely blessed. So again, it's such a wonderful thing. And although it's been super busy, we are a bit exhausted, but it has been such a joy. It's been such a joy. And it's such an opportunity for us to really spend some committed, quality, intentional time with each other. Just speaking into each other's lives, learning a bit about each other, and yeah. So I'm almost done. I just wanted to give, if there's anyone who wasn't at the camp, I'd like to just briefly just touch on that. As mentioned, we had 30 kids from all over, most of them from Martin House, but we had Mazabuka, Makushi even, McKinney, and yeah. So we had 30 kids, and on the very first night, we didn't want to single out, but we had between 10 and 15 salvations or recommitments. We weren't sure because we just did one prayer. But 10 to 15 kids raised their hands that night. And in all my time, I haven't seen that. And we just think to ourselves, that's what's going to happen here in when we target the young people in our schools. It's amazing. And then, to top that up, we managed to baptize 7 people. And I can see some of them here today. Such a special, special time. And just to let you know that we will definitely be following up with each of the kids who were baptized, just to make sure that that it's fully understood and appreciated, the whole thing of baptism, because it's a very significant point in our lives as Christians. It's massive. So we just want to make sure that it wasn't just an event, but something that is deeply meaningful. Yeah. Okay, so overall, the weekend and the Sunday was just incredible. Absolutely loved it. I'm sure everyone who was there also loved it. So with that, I'm going to ask the team to come up, or one at a time, it doesn't matter. Do you want to go up together? Can you, whoever speaks, can you stand here? Speak in here. And you can just introduce yourselves.
Okay, go on. Yeah. So I think, I just want to share actually what stood out for me here. And just compared to our churches in Stellenbosch and community is, it's a whole different ball game. I don't know. It was really like wonderful to just to experience God and how you guys do life here and to see Him in a completely different way. Like, I think sometimes in Stellenbosch, because it's so city-ish, we get caught up in all the distractions and the luxuries of life there. And just to see, like, just to, like, come at peace and have, you know, like, there's a lot of, like, quietness and peace here. That was, for me, I think, quite a big thing. Also, I think what I'll take home is the hosting. Like, coming from Josh Jane, which is obviously the 412 church, having experience and knowing that is, like, the big heart of 412 churches is community and hosting. And I have experienced it before. Like, I've been on different outreaches. But just like, yeah, it was something else. And I want to also give a special thanks to the Blacks, the Wenhams, the Mbangas. I hope I'm saying all the names correct. The Stassens and Zoe for like going out of your way just to like make us feel real at home. Like, it really feels like we've gained family. And I can't wait to come back, yeah, next year again. And hopefully, yeah. And also, if you guys come to South Africa for 412 conference or anything, we would love to host you and hopefully, yeah, get on the same levels that you guys are with hosting. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, the podium is like, you can see my face. I can see you all. I'm Anesu. And, okay. Yesterday, like literally last night, I'm getting emotional. Literally last night, I was lying in bed and I was just feeling a bit sad. So I started praying. I was like, God, I don't know what's going on. Why am I sad? And then I was going through like what's at the back of my mind, because sometimes the things subconsciously that you don't realize are affecting your mood in the moment. It wasn't something that was obvious. But then I came across the thought, we're leaving on Monday, and I don't know when I'm going to see everyone again. And then the tears just rolled down my face. I was on my pillow like, ah. It was kind of comical. But yeah, I think before Eric even talked to us about sharing today, I already realized from that moment that there's something of Jesus that we definitely experienced throughout this outreach. And it's through fellowship in community that we get to witness that we get to experience that. I want to just read a verse quickly, but it's in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. It says, this was when the Apostle John was just explaining, introducing this, I think it's a letter, yes. And he was saying that they're proclaiming and talking about Jesus and, you know, coming in the name of Jesus and just saying that that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's through relationship. He said that fellowship is with us through that relationship that they are saying you too will experience the fellowship that we have with the Son, with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's something that we saw the love of Jesus. And I saw the love of Jesus in the Wenham household, at the Blacks, spending time with the Mbangas, spending time with the McLeans and with Zoe. And even just from the prayers that people prayed from the youth camp and everything, what really stood out to me was the love of Jesus that we experienced in that. And like Rico said, the family that we gained through that. You can only get emotional when you see, you know, it feels like I'm leaving home, and it's emotional because I don't know when I'm coming back home. But I know that our paths will cross again, and that brings more than comfort. It brings joy. So, yeah, I've yapped. But then that's really, I'm taking back a lot of love and the importance of fellowship and community and living life together. Yeah.
Hello, I'm Jolene. Before this outreach, I actually joined Joshin. I was in Joshin for like 2 months, and I heard Sean speaking in the front of the church saying, mission to Zambia, and I was like, yes, I want to do that. And I was added to the WhatsApp group, and I was looking through the numbers, and not one of them was saved on my phone. I didn't know a single one of them. I was like, oh my goodness, like, what have I gotten myself into? I was speaking to my friends, so like, Jolene, like, what are you doing? And I just felt so at peace about it. I was like, that, like, I just know that is where I need to go. And I remember we met for our first prayer meeting, and everyone was, Zambia. And then I started getting like really excited. And actually the first time I had a conversation with most of the people on our team was at the airport when we were flying that morning. And when we arrived here, like the community guys, it like really, Diane and Mark just took us in, and even the Blacks, every single, Amanda and Craig and Zoe and the Stassons, everyone just really went out of their way to make us feel like we were at home. Like, I mean, the meals that we ate, the food was so good. Driving us up and down, like literally an hour just to go see someone quickly. And we are so blessed. And everyone keeps on saying like, thank you for sacrificing your time. It's never been a sacrifice for us. It's really been such a blessing to be here with you guys and Granny Kathy and Uncle Brian. Yeah, it's just everyone. Yeah, we are really, really blessed to have been here, and yeah, God is good. God is definitely here in this place, and I'm not going to cry.
Hello, guys. My name is Armand. I have been incredibly. Should I just continue with the message from here? I'm just going to get my notes back. I've been incredibly blessed to come here for my second time now in a row. The first time I wasn't into Samba. We just passed, and even then, the love of Samba flooded our team because Sean decided that she. Would you guys mind if I move around? Okay. Sean blessed us actually and gave us some breakfast rolls on our way to Kabwe last year. And so even though we were not at Shamba last year, we can experience something of Shamba's love, just for God's people. There's not really a lot. I don't want to give like backstory really to who I am and how my journey looks, because ultimately the important thing is that I have fallen in love with Jesus, and that is why I'm here. I've fallen in love with His bride, just His church. It's incredible. It is truly incredible to see God's people just come together in unity and love each other well. And it's something that I'm deeply passionate about. It's something that I get emotional about. So sorry if I start crying, if my voice starts screeching. Sorry, but not sorry. I want to start, so the title of a very small and short message is Saved for Good Works. That is the title. And I want to start off by reading a portion of scripture in Ephesians 2. So if you guys have your Bibles, you can open it there, but it should be on the board as well. I think I might as well just read it from there, then I'm with you guys. Okay, so Ephesians 2, it says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else." Before you go on, just want to highlight something, this part here. You know, we used to live in a way that we follow our own passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. It's important. Next verse. "But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it." And the last verse says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." Yeah, just until there. Before I say anything about the importance of works and all of that, I want to stand still and get the order of things right. Before we are called to do any works, and before we think about works, it is really important for us to know that our salvation is not from works. And that's really important. We have been saved by grace, and it is a gift from God. When God reached out to you personally, and you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, that is His work. You couldn't do anything to deserve that. And so, my opening statement would be, we have not been saved by works, but we have been saved for works. And when we consider the last verse in that portion of scripture which says that we've been saved for good works, having said what I've said, that we have been saved by grace, we must consider the importance of works as well. And I think often we read over these scriptures and saying, you know, yeah, good works, they are important, but they're not that important. But I want to turn to another scripture, which maybe emphasizes this a bit more, which is in James 2. And I'm going to read James 2, verse 14 and 17. And the middle piece that I'm skipping over, it's not because I want to pull things out of context, but it's just because of a lack of time now. And so if you guys want to read that old portion of scripture, please do that. So verse 14 says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone?" Verse 17. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. When I read that portion of scripture for the first time, it shook me. So I was like, but isn't God's grace, you know, what about that? And I want to say that if God truly saved you and you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you want to become like Him and you want to love like Him. And this is what this is speaking about. If you love Jesus the way that he loves you, if you want to love like Jesus loved, then this is what we want to do. This is who we want to become. And having established that, I want to zoom out. I want to zoom out to the whole Bible. And I want to ask you guys a question. How much of the Bible, especially the New Testament, is applicable if you're reading it outside of the body of Christ? And I want to say, you almost can't read, it wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't make sense if you read the letters that Paul wrote to the churches if you're not in church yourself. If you're not slotted in, the first thing is being slotted in. The second part is giving yourself for the glory of God. So it's two main things. Being slotted in is the first part. You know, showing up, being there. But the second part is just as important, and it's giving yourself, making yourself available for God's good works. And that is essentially, that's what Eric touched on. And he specifically focused on the part of hospitality and hosting us, which was a sacrifice, but God blessed him greatly. And it's not because of anything that we have done, it's not because of who we are in ourselves, it's because of who Jesus is. And He's created things in a certain way, by a certain blueprint, because you know, if we follow that blueprint, then we will be blessed. It's not because of any greatness that anyone possesses by themselves. No one has anything to give but Jesus. I just want to go to my notes now. See, the thing that I want to end off with is really, are we being blessed by this? In my own life, at home, and then also here. So, I became a Christian when I was very small, 12 years old. And just after that, unfortunately, just went into sin. And I see some sensitive ears around, so I'm not going to explain too much. If you want to ask me about it afterwards, please do. I'm not shy about it. But the reason why I fell into those things is because I wasn't slotted in to a healthy body being accountable. And that's the main thing. And so often I say, you know, I've been saved by Jesus Christ, being justified by Him. But the church, if it wasn't for the church, I don't know where I would be today. And I'm very strong on this. I don't believe that we've been called to walk alone. And I can tell a testimony, a personal testimony of that. I fell away completely. And then only when I came to Stellenbosch, giving myself to Healthy Church, that is when God started moving those strongholds away from me. And it was powerful. It was powerful. It's so far away from me that if I look at the thing, it's disgusting. And that is not by my own doing. It's not by my own doing, sitting alone, trying to figure things out on my own. God designed church so that we can depend on one another. A small testimony that I would like to share as well from home is, it's one of my friends. You know? His name is Craig, and he is an incredible encourager. He is one of the guys that gives himself completely. He is so selfless. He's probably one of the, from the studies guys that know Craig, you can all testify to this. Craig is someone who doesn't live for his own, he lives for other people. And in the beginning of this year, Craig lost his mom to cancer. And that guy always had a smile on his face. He's always had a smile on his face. And when that happened, coming back from his mom's funeral, I was serving on the band that day when he came back. And he was serving on sound. And we said to him, Craig, you don't have to do this. If you want to take time to just mourn, which is completely normal and healthy, you're more than welcome to do that. But he said, no, I'm going to go about it here. I'm going to serve today. And for a moment, the band, we just pulled him aside and we just asked him, Craig, are you fine? Are you okay? And the tears started rolling down his face. That guy, even though the tears were rolling down his face, he had a big smile on his face and he said, where else would I be than with the people of God? And that is just, that's next level. I couldn't do that. Not without God. And he also can't. But let me tell you this. That guy's testimony is that living for yourself is not the best. Living for other people. That is the thing where God blesses you. And not with material things. We often think, blessings are material things like wealth or whatever. But I believe the biggest blessing that God will ever give you is peace, firstly. But secondly, joy. It is joy in circumstances where if you look at those circumstances, it's impossible. It's impossible that you would have joy in those circumstances. Like, how can you have joy if your mother passes away like that? And you love her so much. It's not something that is a joyful thing to think about at all. Yet again, God came through for Craig. And God gave Craig joy in that moment. Another testimony and the last one that I want to share. And it's part of really just explaining what this outreach has meant to me. Is listen to Uncle Brian's testimony. From the moment he started speaking until the moment he stopped, which was, I think it was like an hour and a half. Okay. Doesn't matter how long it was. From the moment that he started, my heart was deeply moved by the testimony of what God has done in his life and through him and in him. And while he was speaking, while he was giving his testimony, it was just so evident that this, the things that he has seen and the things that he's went through would have been impossible if God didn't do a miraculous thing. It is not humanly possible to have joy in a moment, such as the moments that he's went through. If you haven't heard his testimony, please go ask him, because you will be blessed. And I think I want to end off with that. The last thing that I just wanted to say is, once again, just echoing what the guys from studies has already said, and that is that if you give yourself to the things of God, like the Blacks has given themselves, like the Mbangas giving themselves, like the Wenams have given themselves. And everyone, if I'm leaving out anyone, know that I deeply appreciate everything that you guys have done. Because not only are you going to be blessed, but you have blessed us deeply. And we are going back to South Africa changed. But I just want to thank you guys out of the depth of my heart for just what you've given us. Cool.
What beautiful people, hey? Yeah. I just wanted to just again to say thank you to all of those who helped host Bungers, Stassens, McLean's for the camp and all the thing, that delicious cake you made, and Carl's, all the cake you made. It was so good. So thank you so much, eh? We appreciate it. And, you know, if you ever want to experience a bit of hosting yourself as well, you can take a trip down to Stellenbosch and in fact, anywhere, you know, all the churches that I've been to, I've been treated the same way. And it's just incredible how you meet people from such different walks of life, and it's all the same. We just love each other. So, yeah, very blessed. I think that's it, Mark.